This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. In the beginning, these words echo the beginning of the story of the people of God in the beginning. And what do we make of new beginnings as we celebrate and remember today as New Year's Eve? As we look at the end of yet another year and a new year to begin just tomorrow, it does present a good time to reflect, right? We're all encouraged to do that. And we think about beginnings and maybe even think about possible endings that might come as 2024 enters in. What's in store, we might wonder, or what will we leave behind? I've never really personally been a New Year's resolutions person. It could be because I know I won't follow through. Maybe it's because I can't see myself further ahead than just a couple of days. Like, I know what I'm gonna do tomorrow, but I'm not quite sure about the next day. The idea of thinking about who I might be or want to be over the coming year, sometimes it doesn't even register. It just seems so far away. But it also could be, too, that I believe resolutions are often just promises we make to ourselves so that when we don't fulfill them, we have all this guilt and shame for not keeping them. Because we're going to come up short. And when we come up short, it creates a lot of ill feelings towards ourselves. Of course, when we think about the term of a year and we think about the years of our life, the truth is, in reality, the lifespan of those of us who walk this earth in terms of eternity is but a nanosecond. In our house, we like to joke around. My husband, who is older than me, so he has a lot more life to remember. But we like to joke around. He's like, oh, that was just a few years ago. And we're like, no, that was 30 years ago. And as we get older, our time frame seems to compress in. So now the joke around the house is everything was just a few years ago. And just a few years ago in the beginning. This is how God sees us in the frame of God's time. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this Word that we understand for us today is Jesus Christ. But this prologue, right, for John's Gospel is a sort of a different nativity. So you might be wondering why we're still singing Christmas songs, all the decorations are still up, it is still Christmas. In the Episcopal tradition, the 12 days of Christmas, from Christmas Day to January the 6th. And so when on Christmas Eve, when we heard the story of Jesus coming into the world, the Word coming into the world, it's a little different story than what we hear today. There's no census being taken, there's no donkey, there's no manger. There's no virgin, there's no star, there's no shepherds, just a word. The words themselves that we hear in the beginning connect us to the very beginning of our Holy Scripture, the very beginning of the story of God's people from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And so thus begins the story of creation, one of the first stories we might learn as young children in the church. But here, John the Evangelist says, yes, that's how it began, but with one more addition. God created everything, and everything was created through the Word, that is Jesus Christ. And it is in him, John says, that there was life. And the life that was through Jesus was the light of all people. So regardless of how we might be able to tell time today, whether our life seems long or short, or in the idea of eternity, very small, we all started out as a part of God from the very beginning. And if everything, as John tells us today, if everything, including the foundation of our very being, came through the Word of God and Jesus Christ, then how beautiful a thing that we are all a part of this beautiful creation, this light of all people. And we're invited and we are expected, as people who gather together to worship God in community, we have accepted that this is a part of our identity, and in that we are expected to participate in this divine image of God, the Word, in creation. We're invited and we're expected to dream of what humanity was intended to be. So we go back to this idea of resolutions. This idea of change. This idea of striving to be more of who we think we are supposed to be. But if we go back to it in this context of being a part of God from the very beginning, there is something to be said for a desire for change. But I want to think about, rather than change, as the world would tell us, we need to change something. What if the invitation, what if all we're asked to do is a desire to be transformed? Transformed into the light of Christ. The word change generally refers to new beginnings, but transformation. Transformation often happens not necessarily when something new begins, but when something old falls apart. And there's often pain when something old falls apart. There's disruption and chaos. But this disruption and chaos invite our soul. That part of God in us invites the soul to listen at a deeper level. It invites the soul to go to a new place because the old place isn't working anymore. The Christian mystics used to use many words to describe this idea of chaos in the midst of transformation. That's fire and darkness and death and emptiness and abandonment and trial and the evil one. Whatever it is, it often doesn't feel good and it often doesn't feel like God. There's much that we will often do to keep these old things from falling apart. Change is difficult. Transformation is harder. But John the Evangelist says we must let the old fall away. And it's not because we are bad. It's not because we are bad, but it's because we've simply forgotten who we are. We've simply forgotten who we are and whose we are, and that is a child of God. And so this transformation and this call of new beginnings is a calling back to our true selves, our child of God selves. Long before we had families or friends or pain or sorrow or loss, we were God begotten. According to this gospel reading, God begotten, created through the Word, whom all things were made. There's a great children's book called The Carrot Seed. You might have read it to your young ones, written in 1945. But it's a very simple story about a boy who plants a carrot seed. And he's surrounded by voices from his family, well-intentioned, I'm sure, as parents and family often are. But they keep telling him it won't come up. The carrot will not come up. The seed will not produce a carrot. But the little boy didn't give up, and he was very patient. He watered the seed, and he kept the weeds from overtaking the soil. And he waited, and he worked to create an environment where the seed would have the best chance, the best possibility to be transformed into a carrot. It won't come up, he kept hearing repeatedly. Yet he was not deterred. And then one day, the carrot came up, just like the little boy knew it would. You see, he watered it and tended to it, unknowing what this transformation would look like or when it would happen. He cared for it and he loved it, and he was patient. God knows that we do all sorts of things to keep ourselves from coming up, to keep ourselves from being transformed into the likeness of Christ, from growing into the full stature of Jesus Christ, of being the light that shines in the darkness. But today we're reminded again that in the beginning was the Word, and all things, all, A-L-L, came into being through this Word, Jesus. Without him, not one thing came into being. And then the Word moved into the neighborhood, and the Word became human so that God might be with God's people in a new way. So what if instead of grandiose ideas about what we might change in this new year, we took a step back and decided that maybe the true goal of this year would be seeking to be transformed. And like the young boy with his carrot, to be transformed, we have to tend to our hearts. Corporate worship, prayer, reading of scripture, meditation, whatever it is that tends to your heart. We have to create environments for success, getting rid of the junk, not only in our surroundings, but the junk in our heads, the junk in our hearts, the junk that the world throws at us from every direction, the junk that we might have in our relationships. What are those things that are holding us back from being transformed? Create the environment for success. Surround yourself with people who are seeking transformation. And ultimately, we have to be patient, because transformation does not happen overnight. What if we seek to be transformed? What might that look like for you? Tend the soil. Create healthy ground. Water. Fertilizer. What are those things in your life that are going to help you be transformed into the likeness of Christ? So we may mark the beginning of a new year. Maybe you'll have some champagne tonight. I think the Pelican Drop is coming back to Pensacola downtown. A party. Maybe you're going to bed early and say, forget it all. Maybe you will have a few resolutions that you may or may not keep. But if we hear the words of John today, there is but one true beginning. And through our lives, that true beginning, as a part of the beginning, everything is created through that one beginning. Then that means our lives are always evolving, they're always moving, and they're always hopeful, and there always is opportunity to be transformed. That's the way of Jesus Christ, a way of transformation. And as we lean into 2024, how might we all be transformed? Amen.